All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I am joined by my incredible players here today. I'm joined by Dace.
Dace.
Benji. Yes, say your name like a Pokemon.
Brad, Dace. Hank.
Hello, Hank. I mean, Brad.
You fucking got...
You had one job.
One job. And John playing Benedict.
Joe John.
Who's that player?
By their silhouettes. We were just having a sobering conversation about what it was like to be in our 20s versus our 30s and how our bodies are no longer doing the things we want them to do.
Deteriorating. We're dying. We're decomposing. Dying. We're decaying actively.
Wait till we get to 40. When we're doing this podcast and we're 40, wait for that time. That's going to be a fun time.
That's going to be great. Yeah, I can't wait. Well, so, you know, like, I was actually, I had some friends from my program invite me out to do, like, a trivia night, like, at a pub, like, nearby, which is something, like, I've never really done much of. And I was just, like, I was just flabbergasted by the amount of just obscene and obvious cheating that the other teams were doing.
Oh, they look up shit all the time.
On this, like, bullshit trip, like, pub trivia. Like, we're all just here to have fun.
It's just, like, pop culture shit.
A lot of it, you know. It was, like, current events. I'm like, oh, great, something I'll know. And it's all, like, you know, shit about, like, you know, like, actors and
what
actresses.
What does it mean to be Brat?
Yeah, or something like, you know...
Is that an acronym?
Oh, no.
It's a...
Uh-oh.
Don't get me started.
Bussy.
It's a Charlie...
Raw ass...
To Charlie XCX album that has become an aesthetic.
Okay. Oh, yeah, like Brat Girl Summer.
Yeah.
That's a thing, right?
Yeah, but it's all from that.
Billy Eilish, Taylor Swift. I'm hip.
Oh, you're
using
showing your
words image. That I just don't understand. And it makes me feel dumb, and I feel like lashing out.
Yeah.
Go ahead, do you have something?
What?
I was scraping the bottom of the barrel for Gen Z slang, and the saddest part is, I found nothing.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, like we're. I don't know if you guys had noticed that there was definitely a time period where, you know, when we were teenagers, where baggy clothes were in, and then they went out, but now they're back in again.
Yeah, they are.
And so for the first time, it's like we're like observing in our lifetime. You know, things repeating and being like, that used to be a thing. I don't know, like, is there an optimal time in a person's life where things have swung back, or the pendulums have all swung back to where they were, that, like, you're, like, kind of, like, still with things, or, like, you're, like, kind of cool again? Or are you just, like, once you're out of your 20s, you're out for the rest of your life? John, You're a good one to talk about.
I stuck
this.
With this aesthetic, not because I chose it, but because it was all the clothes that I bought when I was 15 years old. And you know what? You just stick it out. There are a couple more holes, but now I'm hella swag. Right now.
That hurt when you said that.
There's like a Simpson quote about that, where it's like the grandpa is like talking to young Homer. He's like, I used to be with it like you, but now I don't understand it, and I'm scared. And it'll happen to you too.
It's so true.
Well, you know, like my wife is a little younger than me, and so it's like there are definitely things where like I'll say something about something, like not really complaining, just like make an observation. She's like, oh, calm down. Because it sounds like I'm griping. Like, I'm really not griping about something. I'm just like, that seems odd to me. And she's like, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, boomer.
Right. we're not that old. We're not boomer old. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, you know, it seems like, especially in this sphere, I don't know. I guess I don't listen. Everyone I listen to, like the podcaster stuff, are like our age or older. I don't really listen. Like, that I know of, I don't really listen to a lot of people younger than us.
Really?
There, our future, Joe. How could you be so...
I refuse to support the future. I want to burn the world down as I go out. That's my take. That's how I'm doing it.
So what are you doing tomorrow?
Well...
burning the world down. Okay. You know, I heard the hole in the ozone close back up. We gotta get that hole going again, guys.
Get it up. Like, you just all day, every day, just... with the X-ray, yeah, with, like, yeah, baby.
Yeah, whatever.
double fisting
like the spray cans that you can't even get in the U.S. anymore. You have to import them
straight up from Vietnam.
I didn't know that was a thing.
So thank you for joining us.
Convicted about this.
Yeah, thank you for joining us for lamenting the slow grinding process of time.
We're just getting in the mindset of our characters since they're all in their 70s.
This is
myth. That's right.
That's what it is. Yes, speaking of the characters, let's just go ahead and swing right into it. There is something I want to talk about, but I actually think I'm going to save it for the sanity check, because it's something I want to talk to you guys about maybe future game plans for future games.
Down.
Whoa.
No, it won't
because
be burned down
don't
yet.
Don't believe in the future.
No, we'll still have some.
I'm seeing contradictions, okay? Like, how much future is enough future for you? I'm just...
At least enough to do some more podcasting, that's it. Anyway. Okay. back to where we were. Last time, guys, you guys are in the Broad Albin. You lost your NPC, Rovan Lobolas. You basically kind of strong-armed, but not really. I guess he did agree to it. You had worked with Charlie, who's going to show you the entrance to the labyrinth. And as you guys were going, you kind of found that he apparently accidentally didn't want to go this way or led you guys to the ballroom, which is something that you guys had heard mention of, like all the way back from old Elmer Lawsett, I do believe. This idea of this ballroom, because you guys originally had talked about, I think you had asked Elmer, oh, we're supposed to go to a dance or a ballroom or something. You guys got in here and you started to see images of people, who have kind of come and gone. And for whatever reasons, and listeners, watchers, wherever you are, these guys got it stuck in their head that this was some type of trap. And I don't know where they got that. I really don't. They just would not shake. They just would not let go of this ridiculous idea. But anyway, and so
Joe,
we...
Question. Before you move on.
Yes.
The second chance to do the sanity check, was that was written in? Or was that you being like, we probably should not get everybody to die right now?
No, that's written in.
Okay.
Joe, do you have a fan going on or an AC? In the room?
Oh, it's an AC unit. I didn't know if you could hear that. Whoops. Let me close my door.
You can hear Joe's AC? I can't hear it.
You have amazing
fan. Yeah, I can't hear it.
It turns out that Ace is downstairs in my living room. It's,
it's that bug that you planted in his new house.
Could you turn that down, Ben? But so we... shit, what was I going to say? It was by the book, yes. But you guys have managed to get through that now, and here we go on the other side, ready to continue to the labyrinth. I'm going to pull back the curtain just a tiny bit and let you know something. I actually made that encounter more dangerous because I could. Because sometimes I feel like we don't have enough danger, and I wanted to give us an opportunity to do something cool.
No one can stop us.
We survived with our skill, with our stats, not our skills. So even if we fucking around with the stats and we've been alive for too long, with the skills, we survived on our stats. So fuck you.
Yeah, you did.
Game.
We'll never die.
We'll never die.
Almost disappointed that we didn't set the trap off. Can you elaborate on like how you made it more dangerous, maybe in the sanity check?
Sure. We'll talk about the sanity check. Remind me.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, we'll elaborate on it. Anyway, so here you guys are. You are standing on the other kind of other side of the ballroom. You kind of navigated this. And Benedict especially, you know, Benedict literally just like fell down. Like, you know, he was like shocked, you know, and kind of like losing it a little bit. You know, you guys have now kind of all gotten out of that. And I imagine Benedict especially is probably happy to be on the other side of this, like, you know, and kind of heading out. So is there anything before you guys, you know, that's Charlie is with you. He's like, okay, it's right this way. It should be just right through here.
You coming with us, Charlie? Or is this it?
I'll go with you just a little further toward the entrance, but I don't have what it takes anymore. These old bones.
Maybe what it took, Charlie, is three friends.
No.
Maybe it just took friends. Don't you want to come with us?
An unbreakable bond between friends.
An unbreakable bond of friendship.
Have you seen what we've been through, Charlie? Do you see what we do for each other? Do you see what we did to that...
Yes, I see how you treat your friends.
I have seen it. We would love you too, Charlie.
Your inner circle sucks.
Do you want to be loved?
It's a bad circle. I don't want to be a part of it.
And we love you too, Charlie.
We'd die for you, Charlie.
I don't think that's true. I need to... I need to go.
Just putting it out there.
Noted. Let's get you to that entrance.
So there's a door on the other side, you know, and Charlie pushes it through. And as you do, this very much... this feels like... this room kind of matches the ballroom in a way. It looks like it might be like an antechamber or, you know, like a... for like a ballroom in like an old palace or something. Like it seems like a servant's kind of behind, you know, backstage kind of area. You know, there's like maybe there's like a big old banquet table kind of pushed over to the side or something like that. You know, like chairs and tables kind of stacked up, you know, that might be set up. It kind of has that feel like, okay, this is where they put things that normally go in there. And he kind of leads you through. It's like... And eventually he comes to an area where you see like a very out of place hanging from the ceiling, one of those illuminated exit signs that does not match anything. Mm-hmm. Like it's like this is like a very modern kind of exit sign
over
it's
the door. That's
yeah, the same thing. The fire escape doors. There's something there.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's, you know, it's just kind of like dimly kind of glowing red, and like, and this is the point where you guys kind of realize, like, it's kind of getting kind of dark down on this end, you know? He's like, this should be it right here. And you guys come to this kind of like a right angle turn, you know, that goes to the right, and he kind of stands there and kind of points off to the way that this sign is pointing. And you guys turn and look, and you see that kind of just stuck in the middle of the hallway. And again, it seems almost like you had like copy and pasted it from somewhere else. It seems that the actual walls, as they were, just stop. And what begins is like a crumbling, cracked, like stone archway. It looks Neolithic. Like it's like the kind of things that like it just, you know, it's like you can't even tell if it was made with, like, you know, if you were to study it, like, was this even made with tools or are these just square stones that were just set up here?
Is there any writing on it?
No writing that you can tell. Nothing, you know, or maybe you know, actually, no. Like, I think there would be some writing, but not ancient writing. maybe you see... actually, roll me a luck roll. How about that?
Okay.
I think I've actually got something for this.
The first one was a 64.
Okay. You see that down the right side, maybe written in like charcoal or chalk or something. We'll say chalk. You know, there looks to be initials, and by each initial are a series of hash marks. You know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, crossed out. And some of them have dozens and dozens of hash marks by them.
Mm.
But yeah. So that's what you see. What are the initials? Charlie's just kind of... A variety, none of which stand out to you.
Nothing specific.
I think Benji clocks that, and he walks up to the archway and takes the pickaxe off his shoulder and scores a mark into it.
Yeah, like do you write your initials?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you put, you know, BP-1.
Yep. And the date.
Do you know what date it is?
No.
Okay.
What date does he think it is?
Oh my god, my desk just broke.
Well, that's inconvenient.
Stupid.
Okay. In what way did your desk break?
The podcast down.
Okay. No, like the sliding out drawer thing where you'd have a keyboard. I have my books on it, and it just broke. I'm just gonna hold it on my lap.
The show must go on, even if you have to hold this desk the whole time. You're just gonna you're gonna hold it.
So yeah, you do that, but Charlie's standing here, and he's standing kind of back, you know, he's like, well, there it is.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, thanks for bringing us here. Been an invaluable asset to our journey through the Broad Album, and we hope to see you again.
Benji.
Well, I would love to...
Benji, do you think we could? Do you think we should bum rush him? Should we just like grab him, bring him? What if we need him?
I would run, Charlie. Run, Charlie. I'm not fucking run.
No, Hank doesn't hear it. I'm singing to Benji
as Charlie toddles away.
Oh, I gotta be honest, Benedict. That situation with that private ain't sitting too well on my shoulders.
But it doesn't matter, though, Benji. Like, this doesn't matter. It's not real. It doesn't matter. We can do what we want. Haven't you seen us? We've done whatever the fuck we want.
Now, Benedict, I'm not gonna...
Oh,
we really need to come together on this. I mean, I'll be frank. It doesn't sit too well with me either. Or Benji almost taking off my head with a pickaxe.
Look, that was different. I thought I saw Jeremy back there, okay, Hank? And that's impossible, alright? So what difference does it make? Do you think that our private was actually a person? Do you think that was actually a person? I don't. I'm not sure. What does it matter? Anyways, he's gone now. He's hobbled away. I didn't even say goodbye. He owed me money, that bastard.
You got a point. Sure death means so much in these parts.
Yeah. He looks over at Hank.
Yeah.
Give me that
with
pickaxe.
With murderous intent.
Let me hold on to that pickaxe.
You don't need that.
Absolutely not.
As you're carving random shit into the stone.
Okay. Well, I guess
I did say unraveling.
Yep. Better to do a thing than live with the fear of it.
Yeah.
Well said.
Okay.
Let's put the headlamp on. He said it's going to be dark.
Yep.
I say we take this rope and we tie it together so that if one of us dies, the rest have to drag his horrible desiccated corpse outwards. And...
You assume that the corpse is going to be desiccated.
Oh, because something's going to just soup him up like... and dead, drained.
Yeah. Okay. Alright,
Guido, it's been real. We'll catch you on the other side.
Alright.
Be looking out for that bottle of yours.
Thank you. Good luck.
And he turns and leaves. So I will say that you guys have some headlamps with you. You have one headlamp, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Am I right in that?
And the army helmet.
Sure.
Which would not have a headlamp on it.
No.
Which be.
But I mean, Hank, depends on the army. When Hank went, Hank does have a high wattish flashlight in his tactical gear, and he did suit up prior to the whole debacle of running from them. So,
okay,
what's our gun situation?
We both have. I have an M4 or whatever.
I think it was fully the
assault rifle.
Yeah, I think I think we joked, but also kind of seriously that you guys are just packing this whole time.
Are we going to bother tracking ammo?
Well, I think we all suited up before we went to the theater and then got ran. Yeah. So
you guys were all suited up when the chase started.
Yep.
And I will say Hank definitely would have a flashlight, like you say, like a tactical flashlight, either on the end of his rifle, or like hooked to his kit, like, you know, hooked to his chest or something. So, the other two of you, I don't really know. I don't really know if you
Dace, Benji has the headlamp.
Yes, he has a headlamp, that one that you guys found in the stairwell.
So maybe me and Benji will take point, Benedict, and you can watch our six for us.
That sounds great.
Okay.
How are you doing, Hank? How are you feeling? Health-wise, I mean.
Oh. I mean, I'm a pretty sturdy fellow. I feel better than ever, honestly.
All right, if you say so.
Right.
Lead on, huh?
I feel like good nothing could there, ever kill me. Ever.
If you want to be put out of your misery at any point.
No, just all right, so just asking, like, hit points, if you're going to take point, if we're going to take point.
I'm pretty good now.
Okay. All right, let's go.
All right, so what are you guys actually... What are you guys actually doing in here? Like, you're just going to...
I mean, I don't think Hank really knows.
Let's get lost in the labyrinth.
It's a checklist.
Finding Jay Linz's bottle.
Finding Jay Linz's
bottle. Well, we're going to be on the lookout for a bottle, but I think Hank somehow hopes this will lead to, like, the next step in finding Abigail. I mean, it just seems like a process we have to do, but can we somehow maybe have a... I know this Hotel Broad Album basement etching isn't a labyrinth per se map, but could we possibly have maybe some insight to the navigation of these parts with it? Or
because you are either recalling or... We'll say... I don't know. Do you guys think that you would have this map? Do you think that you would have it with you?
Benedict still has a shard of glass from Michelle. So he's got all kinds of, like, little things scrolled away. Maybe a rival would tell
us. I think it's a stretch, honestly.
I think it's a real stretch. I think it's a... Jean, roll me a D100. Get a 10 or below. You have a 10% chance.
Jeez.
Of having this with you. How about that?
I've hard bargained.
Yeah.
43.
No, okay, dice, now you don't have it. I think that you guys still recall, you know, that. You still recall that map, and so you're like, okay, like, I think that there was something here. Okay, so
I guess if we're going to follow anything, maybe if we don't have a map, would it make more sense for us to try to have, like, some kind of scouting skills? I don't have really good navigation to see maybe the most worn trail under here, if there's any sign of someone's been down, if there's like a fork in the road, if there's any sign of it's had past visitors going down one route or the other, maybe follow that.
Okay.
Yeah. And the only other thing I'll add to that is Benji will periodically score the wall of the labyrinth as we're walking.
Okay. Like, yeah, that's actually a really good idea, so we don't know we're going in circles.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm sure it's going to help.
This, exactly. Like, this all obeys rational decision-making. Let's do it. Let's
Benji, just mark...
What else do we have?
Mark meatball. No one else would ever write that in stone.
if you Benji, come back to it. Scratches through the yellow sign that he was etching on the wall. And he's like, yeah, meatball, Roger. All right, meatball it is.
Yeah, whoops. Okay, I actually want to grab something real quick and drop it in here for you guys to see from the book. Just so I think, you know, because I think it's always good to kind of be like a little bit... to kind of kind of think about like what the authors had in mind for like what the place actually looks like. So let me grab this real quick and drop it in. Give me just one moment.
So we're looking for Jay Lynn's bottle. That's that's what you said, right, John?
Yeah. And Abby also encouraged us to find Jay Lynn's.
Okay, on that letter that we found at the end of the last book. Where's that on the murder board? J.C. Lynn's.
Just underneath the run.
Under the run?
Yeah, she does say find the bottle, right?
Oh. Alright.
His bottle. Author, his bottle.
The author.
The
author. Okay. I wonder what author. There's been so many fucking books in this module. On my person, I have Night Floors by Roger Caroon.
Well, it's probably going to be the yellow.
The author of the Yellow King. King and Yellow.
Did we ever find out who J.C. Lynn's was? Because they were in room 616. Ooh. We found their jacket. We found a bottle. I can't remember whose bottle.
Straight up don't remember.
That's cool.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, so if you guys could look on there.
Nice.
Let's see. Me.
Is it the picture with the woman and
Yeah. Yeah, let me get this so the audience can see it as well. Like I said, just so we have kind of like an idea of what the authors of the module were thinking about when they did this.
It's giving liminal space.
Yeah. So yeah, like everything is kind of rough hewn, you know, and so you guys are gonna go in here, you're looking for J.C. Lynn's bottle. That is the intent, is what I'm hearing.
Think so.
Yep.
Okay. What?
Intent matters, eh?
Well, don't you fucking start with me.
I want to find $1 million.
Okay, so you... It is not long, so you've kind of talked about some of the stuff, like you want to score the wall on your way out. You know, you do have a pickaxe, it is stone, like you could, like, pretty regularly try to leave, like, a little mark. It's not long, like, the trail goes along kind of straight down these tunnels, these, like, rough-hewn tunnels. It's not long till you come to a, you know, like a four-way intersection kind of thing. And I'm going to say that by that time, you see that you're in this kind of like small room with like a, it's got three hallways kind of coming off it. So it's like, again, you're like, there's the way you came and there's three other ways going out. The whole area smells kind of like what you would expect from like a stuffy underground area. Like maybe there's like a smell of kind of dampness, like, you know, that kind of moldy, kind of dusty smell. You know, and maybe even as you look down, you see it's like, I think there's footprints here. I think that other people have been here.
Hank will just do general alertness. If anything else can be had from this.
Okay. You know, Hank, like, what are you looking? Are you, like, listening? Are you smelling? Tasting?
Smelling the ground.
licking, well, the wall.
Licking the wall.
Obviously. He wants to... Okay, there's obviously tracks going towards one of these routes. Alertness just to, like, can you see anything of interest down? Are they just all similar? Or can he hear anything odd?
I would say that from each, like, you know, as you, like, kind of stick an ear, because you definitely get the idea that's like, if you continue on, like, you know, you can even shine your light down and see that each of these paths kind of winds out. You know, straight, it's not like one of them straight and the other two look like they go off curved, or maybe, you know, or even like, you know, oh, does that go down? Does that one go up? You know, is that one, you know, there's one twist a little bit, like, you know, they seem to be all over the damn place. The footprints themselves, it looks like there's no clear, like, oh, the majority of them have gone left. You know, it's not like that. But, you know, and or maybe even as you look, you know, you look on the walls here at the entrance to these hallways and you see places where it looks like other people might have tried to score the walls, you know, and like, and mark their way, maybe a bit of chalk or even something dark like a piece of charcoal, something like that, you know, or even here, you know, there might be like a, you know, kind of discarded off to the side what looks like, you know, like a... Like a piece of aluminum foil that maybe looks like it had a piece of bread in it. Like there was just like a few crumbs. You know, like someone had brought food down here or something. So you guys are all standing here and kind of need to figure out which way you're going to go.
Well, fellas.
Because down here is, down these paths are pitch black.
I don't know what you fellas think. I mean, there doesn't seem to be a clear route besides most people. You said, I mean, there seems to be tracks all over the place.
Are there any that don't have tracks?
No.
Oh no, my recording stopped.
Yeah, we'll get it.
This could be very important, so is there any skills we can think of that might give us an advantage? Does anyone have really good navigation?
Nope.
I'm going to tell you that the skill that we're going to be rolling as you try to, guys, try to get, make your way through this area is probably going to be a search.
Okay. I'll roll a search. Try to determine which Hank thinks is the best. 25 success.
You know, Hank, you know, maybe one of them has like a bit of a draft and you're like, this one seems to be the only one that's different than the others. This one seems to have a draft, the other ones don't. You know, so the best you can figure is this is the way.
Hank, right. Do you remember? No, it was Benji. Benji, do you remember we were in the tunnels together and we saw Mosby or someone else?
We saw...
Do you remember what they were saying?
When we were in the tunnels under that house, we saw a bartender man. What's his name?
Say,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I forgot his name. The guy behind the bar in the night floors.
You mean Rourke? Mark Rourke.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Rourke, and he. I think Abigail was with them.
Was it, yeah. Abby?
I think it was. And he's like, "Oh, we'll
it was find a woman. It was a woman. It was not Abigail. You would have recognized Abigail, right?"
He's like, "Don't worry, we'll find your bottle, kid, or something like that."
That's right.
Anyway, he attacked us.
Where are we going with that?
Well, he attacked us after we made a noise in the wall and caused the cave-in. I'm just thinking... I don't know, can Benedict roll some kind of intelligence to get some insight from that interaction? Or... I'm fishing, but I don't know what the hell.
Okay, give me an intelligence.
Okay. Benedict solves the puzzle.
He solves it. 61. Okay. You think back and you remember that Mark Rourke and this woman were wearing like mining gear, like much like what you've got, like even the mining helmet, like oh, this is about right. You do think now that you were, you know, without much shadow of a doubt, as a character, obviously you as people have probably realized this, you're almost certain that you were, you know, and you even think about, why was Ophelia Citri digging that tunnel? Like, she was trying to reach something. You think that underneath her house, like, there was a link to the Whispering Labyrinth, that she was trying to get there. She was just there.
Benedict, are you trying to tell us that this could possibly have a link to the real world and not just have an entrance to the Hotel Broad Out?
Yeah, it could be, but I'm also thinking that these might not be our only three options.
Just a straight up dig somewhere?
We might just dig somewhere interesting. I don't know.
Maybe.
I just don't like the idea of rolling the dice to see which one of these we're going down.
So here's my theory. Being a master of the cult and whatnot, in order to find the Hotel Broad Albin, we had to run. We had to be fleeing. And I'm wondering if what we decide to pursue in this labyrinth is going to determine what we find.
There's no place like home.
I think we're past that, Hank. Nice.
Alright. Sounds a bit weird, but I guess I could try to focus on the Arthur's bottle as we go down this drafted tunnel. And then maybe Benedict, if we get down here and it's another, you know, fork in the road, maybe then we can try axing our way to a new route.
Okay. I think we should hold hands and chant, "I want to find the bottle of J.C. Lands." I think that's a rational thing to do.
Of course. He grabs your hand, definitely.
All right, I'm not going to do that, but y'all can...
Damn it, Hank, it doesn't work if we don't all do it. Just try it.
Just do it.
There are certain rituals that I've read about in the past.
That's bullshit and you know it. That's bullshit and you know it.
One involves a math dog, and everybody has to meditate on the same wavelength.
Naturally.
All right.
Okay.
So we go down this drafted spot holding hands.
All right.
Chanting.
So something was mentioned before. So I want to know right now. I want to know everything you guys do to prepare for this. So I know you've got a headlamp. I know you've got Hank's lamp as well, his flashlight. What do you guys do to like prepare yourself, and how do you orient yourself?
We got guns out.
Guns?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe since Benedict doesn't have a light, Benji will be in the back. You said you're good on HP, right, Hank?
Yeah.
Okay. So marching order, Hank, Benedict, Benji. Guns out.
Okay.
All right.
Are you both going to be using your lights at the same time?
I reckon.
I imagine.
Okay. I will let you know that lights have limited amount of battery life.
All right. Then no.
Okay.
All right. I guess Hank will use his and then maybe conserve the headlamp.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So everyone, please roll me a search roll. And please enunciate to me out loud what you get.
Ooh.
Remember the penalty
Yes, Benji. Remember your penalty for Benji.
I forgot the penalty. But I got a failure anyway. Oh. Wow.
Benedict got a fumble at 99.
Hmm.
Hank failed.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys. Hank, would you, or Brad, would you roll a 1d8, please, for me?
Seven.
Okay. All right. You continue, you guys kind of walk around for a little while, and you come across two separate alcoves, about 30 minutes from each other. You guys are searching for a long time, and it becomes very clear very quick, especially, you know, maybe at one point in time you're like, okay, let's go back to that first kind of room with the three tunnels. You can't find your way back.
My marks didn't work.
Yes.
Wait, yeah. You say we go down this a while and then decide to turn back?
If at some point in time, if you attempt to turn back to try to find your way back, you can't. There's the way back. Things are squirrely down here. You know, within about 15 minutes of you guys going down here, you do come across, and again, almost everything is completely pitch black. Every now and then, you come across what looks like a, like maybe just like a raw, old school, you know, those old light bulbs with the big ass filaments in them that don't glow very bright, you know, they're like the wires in them are like the size of your pinky. Mm-hmm. Every now and then you come across like an old looking light hanging from like, you know, a wire that kind of goes to nothing that might be glowing just enough. And about 15 minutes in, you guys come to a bottle in an alcove sitting, you know, like recessed in. It's like a little short kind of squat bottle with a name of someone you've never known. And
what's the name?
It doesn't matter. It's someone you don't know.
What? Okay.
It's a classic John Smith kind of situation. Mm. And maybe you continue on, you know, for another... I'm going to basically say that you guys basically kind of search around for an hour, and maybe you even come across another one of these things. But again, not a name you know, or maybe even come across like the remains of a bottle that looks to have been smashed on the floor, on the ground.
I was just thinking, I wanted to smash some bottles.
Bad luck to smash a bottle, boy.
Bad luck. But yeah.
Bad luck to kill a seabird.
Do you know, is anyone hungry? Dungeon Master, am I hungry?
You are not.
Guys, you know what's weird? We haven't pooped, and we're not hungry, but we saw a little food packer with, like, breadcrumbs back there. What's that about?
Like, if you think about it, you're like, I kind of could be hungry, I guess, but you're like, not really.
It is strange.
It's probably nothing. It's just the darkness. It's the madness of the darkness. It's just a trick of the light.
Well, maybe you were onto something, Benedict. Maybe we should just have a go with this pickaxe and try to etch something, etch our own way. Maybe it'll break through to another cavern.
Hey, we should sit down and try a ritual.
And what ritual would that be? Axe, pickaxe, boy.
How dare you?
Sorry.
I'm a pickaxe man.
How very dare.
Either focus on intention or summon a demon. I don't know. That's kind of my go-to, you know?
What demon do you think you could summon right now?
Well, I figure if I get a hold of Tim, he might have some insight.
I reckon I like this idea, because any demon we bring down here is going to be mighty angry that we brought him.
He's going to be like, where in the hell did you bring me?
You don't know that.
You guys are having this conversation, and you hear the sounds of steps echoing down one of the tunnels nearby.
Blast.
just points down and just we're trying to talk the here. Shotgun. Blam! Blam!
That's a good question. What is that? Loud or quiet? Loud or quiet?
Hold up, do y'all hear that? Yeah. Are they coming closer?
Yeah.
Or further away?
It sounds like it's getting closer.
Loud or quiet? Should we hide?
Let's turn off our lamps.
Right.
Okay. You turn off your lamps and you hear the sound of you hear like stepping, and it's coming closer and closer, and you can see a faint glow starting to appear around one of the corners. It's a flickering glow.
Like they have a lamp as well.
Yeah.
Wanna blab?
Benji will whisper.
Wait till they get about 20 feet away, and we turn all our lights on and blind them, ambush them.
Yeah.
Don't shoot them. Don't shoot them. We're just going for a surprise here.
I agree.
Benedict, like, uncocks his pistol.
Oh. Attaboy.
All right, we kind of wait till this first thing gets closer.
Down one of the straighter ways, you see the image of a man come around a corner. He is carrying in one hand a candle, you know, like on a candlestick, and in his other hand he's carrying up above his shoulder what appears to be a silver tray. He is dressed smartly in like a vest and a clean white shirt. His shoes are polished to a high polish.
The server for the feast.
And he is he's kind of walking through, and he's kind of coming down toward your way.
Hank will wait till he gets, whatever, close enough, how Benji said. And then he'll say, two...
Should we just follow him? Should we just follow him, Hank?
Oh. I was going to do like a flick of my light, cock my gun, and say, I didn't order room service, but yeah, that sounds like...
Nice. Nice.
Actually, that sounds like a better plan. Can we...
No, that's such a good one-liner, though. I think maybe it'd be...
But I already said it. Now the surprise.
Yeah, it's kind of out there. Yeah.
Actually, I do like that plan. Can we attempt to maybe hide ourselves a little bit and follow him from behind?
I would say that he's kind of beelining towards you. You're going to have to make a hell of a hide check to like evade him. It's like really echoey. Even if your lights aren't on, he's going to hear you moving. So if you guys want to make a stealth check and try to avoid this guy knowing that you're there, by all means.
There's absolutely no chance of succeeding here.
I don't even know if that's necessarily the right decision. I think I'd rather talk to him.
All right.
Okay.
Well, yeah,
cool with
it
takes that?
Consensus to be stealthy, so if Benji goes, that's it. It's good. Solid.
Alright, so you guys turn on your lights, and he does seem a little bit startled.
Surprise!
But then he kind of smiles.
It's your birthday!
He kind of smiles with a very kind of hospitality industry smile. You know, like it's... It's very much, and you can tell that maybe he was just kind of walking, just kind of, you know, kind of like kind of looking around as he went. But now he sees you, and he, you know, he kind of brightens up and straightens up, and he walks up to you and extends the tray to you, and he says something in a language that is not understood by anyone except for Benji, I think. Benji, what is your Carcosian language skill?
Let's see.
Did we ever actually give you the skill?
I thought we did.
Where is that? I'm looking for... L's. I don't see language.
Maybe...
No, isn't it in the other skills?
Foreign languages or... and other skills.
Or craft.
All I have is Carcosian clockwork. I don't have... But, I mean, we found that Tartesian to...
Oh, it was Tartesian. Yes. It wasn't Carcosian. It was Tartesian.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would say that you... So, you don't recognize necessarily... But it is the same thing. Sorry. It is the language is the same. You did read... Go ahead right now and under languages. We should have done this before. We should have given you the skill. Give yourself a 20%. In Tartesian, because we had said that you had spent that time, that you had spent the time reading the dictionary. So a 20% skill in language is not that great. Like, that's kind of like you can order at a restaurant.
Restaurant Tartesian.
Right, you speak restaurant Tartesian. Like, well, you can...
there's a bellhop with...
It might be perfect. You know?
Donde... Donde es el baño.
Yeah, so... So go ahead and make... If you want to try to understand him, make that roll.
Okay. At a negative 30.
Oh, shit. So there's which no way impossible. You can pass. No, because of how frazzled you are, you actually cannot
do
this. You know it to be Tartesian. You know it to be
Could
Tartesian.
Could you say for us?
Benji's like, he doesn't know that. What the hell he's talking about.
Listen, guys, I'm real tired. This dude's speaking Tartesian. I can't make out what he's saying, though.
Yeah. But he holds out this thing, and on this tray are these little crackers, it looks like. And on top of each cracker is like a kind of like a gelatin, like a jiggly kind of clear gelatin, looks like.
Haven't we seen this before?
Have you?
This is ringing a bell.
Not to me.
I don't know if it's... We've seen the bug powder. I don't know if we've seen a gel.
Okay.
A powder. There may have been mention of it.
Hank will, like, pick up one and, like, ask him, like basically, like, sign, like, eat.
You pick it up and look at it, and it's funny that Jean mentions bugs. Because at the center of the gelatin is a tiny... golden colored beetle. Very similar to something that one of you saw poured from a peanut packet
on the airplane
when you were going to, I believe, when you were on your way to Vegas. See, and you mime the kind of, and he picks up that you're not understanding what he's saying, and he smiles, and he's like, you know, he kind of like, yes, like, you know. You know, he kind of makes like a motion like good, good, you know, like awesome, like moi, like kind of thing. Do you say Melonia?
Melonia?
He kind of like you say that. He looks. He goes. He kind of makes like a so-so kind of motion with his hands, like.
Well. You were kind of hungry, weren't you, Benedict? Why don't you have the first...
No, I was not hungry. I was not hungry. That's what I was commenting on.
Okay.
The opposite, Hank.
But he will hold the tray out to Benedict and Benji as well.
What do you fellas think?
Benji takes it. He's very full. Grabs it up and eats it.
You grab it up and eat it.
Yep.
Shit. Go ahead and make a sanity roll, please.
As he is chewing a single bead of sweat.
At a negative 10 because for your exhaustion.
Sanity. I have to do a at this point, custom thing
at
now.
This point in time, we're just going to call it an insanity roll for Benji. Because...
When is he going to snap?
I think I can... I'm trying to enter
you
a custom.
You can just subtract it.
Yeah. So I'll do... Negative 20.
Yeah.
And then...
Wait a second. No, it should have been a negative 10, not a negative 20.
Well, I can't enter in a custom amount.
Okay, so that is a success.
Holy shit.
Because you got a 21.
Minus 10 would be an 11 under 31.
Wait, no, no, no. Your sanity is 31. You rolled a 21, which is exactly a pass.
You just got right.
Wow.
Hank's like looking at him intently just to see what happens.
I see. Is he going to explode? Yeah, Benedict expects him to explode.
Like, you guys are both holding your crackers, but your heads are just turned to the side, just watching Benji.
I think Benji has locked eyes with the server as he chews, just like resolute. Does it taste like?
It's so the gelatin is, it's not like jello sweet. There's just a very hint of sweetness to it. But as you crunch the bug, there's like an acidity almost. And it's, you know how when you eat wasabi, like when you eat it, even in your mouth, the smell just kind of like goes straight to your nose, right?
Yeah.
Like just like up and into your nose. It's
the nose spice.
It's like that. Like it just like, it seems to just like hit you just like, and as you do, you know, and the waiter, he nods to you and smiles and says something, you know, and seems to like, you know, like he's satisfied with the service he's given you and he's going to walk away. And Benji, as he smiles and says something to you, you hear through it, you know, there was like, you're so tired, you can barely understand anything, because your willpower is so fucked, and you're just so exhausted, but you hear clear as a bell, "Have a nice day, sir." Just like, you just understand the Carcosian perfectly. And as you're standing there, and you kind of like, your head begins to swim, and you guys see Benji, you know, as he kind of like almost begins to kind of falter or sway on his feet. And Benji, you think for a second. You watch as his candle, as the waiter's candle, fades into the distance as he goes away round. And you think to yourself, well, he's never going to find his bottle. Not with that light. And it strikes you. There's something that's been following you this whole time, but it's afraid of the light.
Oh, shit.
You just need to let it in.
I like that.
And the other two of you are still standing here with your crackers. By the way,
he's having a spirit journey, drooling from one side of
Hank's
his mouth.
Hank tries to like slightly tap him on the cheek, like, "Benji, you still there?"
Benji, when he taps him on the cheek, it's like slapping a corpse. He doesn't respond for a second, and then he takes the miner's helmet off his head, smashes it on the floor. Breaks the light.
Oh.
And then he tries to go for Hank's gun.
What the fuck?
Gun?
You said the flashlight was on the gun, right?
No, it's like hooked on his vest. Or
okay.
Something.
Well, he tries to get the flashlight from Hank. And he's like,
"It's gotta be dark, Hank. It's gotta be dark."
All right. Let me calm down. I can just cut it off. We don't have to smash it.
Benedict is slightly aroused by the smashing.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah. Benedict,
hold on, I'll cut
starts.
It off. I'll cut it off.
When he cuts it off, then Benji sort of like comes to, and he's like,
"Oh shit!"
Yeah, that's
it's
no, that's
it's
a way better.
Really
idea.
Dark. It's
kind of wish I hadn't smashed my helmet now.
It is so.
Why'd
so
you do
dark.
That? What did?
So you,
I can't explain it, Hank. But in order to
Benedict
get done,
shushes them.
You guys hear the sounds of the footfalls of the waiter far into the distance, and maybe you barely make out the sound of a door opening and closing. You know, as his footfalls disappear, and you guys are standing here, and there's probably a moment where you can only really hear like your own heartbeats, and. As all of you are standing here, like, and you're all very close, like you can all reach out and touch each other, or maybe even you do in the darkness. You hear something. It's the sound of cloth being dragged across stone floor. And you hear the slightest, the most slight of a knocking, hollow wooden sound.
The song.
And you hear probably like, we'll say like Hank, like behind you and to the right. You hear just barely, just whispers. Hank Ellis. Hank Ellis. Come and see. And that is probably a good place for us to stop.
What? Well, you clipped a little bit. What did you whisper?
I'm sorry. Hank Ellis, come and see.
Hank Ellis.
Oh, gotcha.
Come and see. Come and see.
Have you seen it?
Have you seen it?
Have you seen it?
Have you seen it?
Nice.
All right, guys.
Epic.
All right. Wow. I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah, that was cool.
Good job.
Nobody knows how to hang out in tunnels like us, boys.
that's all Benji.
Listen, if there was anybody who was gonna... And by the way, I just wanna... If you'd failed the check, something else would have been happened.
Bad. Damn.
That was insane that I passed that check. I fully expected to fail that.
I mean, you barely would did. At the 10%.
You would have snapped.
At the 10% negative, yeah. You know? You know, and I don't know, like some people might not, they might say, no, the sanity check counts as an action. But I don't know, like, that's not clear in the words, and like in the wording for being at at one willpower point. So
I'm with you on this one. Like, would you consider thinking an action? Like, it's a mental activity.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. So like, I don't think, I think we're good on that. Let me put it this way. That's the way we're going to play it. That's the way we're going to play it. That's the way we're going to do it.
That's what I would have said.
So
I would say to anybody else.
Yeah. So if someone else has an idea about that, then we can talk about
put
it.
Put it on Reddit and I'll go.
Yeah. Put it on Reddit and Jean will print it out and wipe his ass with it. And he'll film it, which is the really good part.
Patreon to you.
Patreon. I do not consent to this.
All right. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to, get these week early, you want to get access to Sanity Check, we're going to talk about some stuff. Like I said, there's something I'm really looking forward to talking to you guys about for Sanity Check today. And then Dace wanted to hear about the ballroom.
Oh, yeah.
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 So we'll talk about that in Sanity Check. Hey, it's $3 on Patreon. We really appreciate it. It's linked below. If you can't do that, leave us a review, leave us a like, wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching. Tell a friend about us. It's a pretty good thing. It's a pretty good game, pretty good show. I'm having a great time. There's at least 120-ish people who are like currently caught up. That's nice. A conservative estimate. On our end, hey, we really appreciate you guys coming along for the ride.
We do.
Yeah. But guys, nice job, Joe.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you, guys. Everyone listening, everyone watching, again, thank you so much for joining us. We will catch you next time to see if these guys go and see to see if they see what they got and what the Somalis got for them. Anyway,
stay safe and stay sane.
Bye.